I'd like to ask you to open up your Bible with me this morning to the book of John, if you would. The Gospel of John at chapter 5. How many of you know how Father's Day began? Is there anybody here who thinks that Father's Day began on Mother's Day? Well, there are a number of accounts as to how Father's Day began. And I think you're going to be surprised as to why I asked the question as to whether or not Father's Day began on Mother's Day. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd, her father's name was, she was smart, and she married a Dodd. She experienced tragedy quite early when her mother was giving birth to one of her siblings. Her mom died. And Sonora's single father then faithfully raised all six of the children by himself. So Sonora wanted to honor her dad on a particular Sunday because it was his birthday. She was sitting in a church service listening to a Mother's Day sermon. And she thought, wouldn't it be great if we could have Father's Day as we do celebrate Mother's Day? She mailed a letter off to the mayor of Spokane, Washington, with a request to make a citywide proclamation to honor all the dads. And the mayor agreed, but he had to put it off a couple weeks for a number of reasons. So on Sunday, June 19th in 1909, the young women in the churches all throughout Spokane, Washington, all handed out roses to all the fathers in church that Sunday. Now, it took until 1924 until President Calvin Coolidge promoted the idea that Congress would set aside a specific day to encourage dads to have closer relationships with their children and to fulfill their role as dads in the home. It took another 63 years until 1972 that Father's Day became an official United States holiday. And at this stage of the game, obviously, we all think that Father's Day has always been celebrated. So for Father's Day this year, I wanted you to look with me at a dad that is very worthy of the example of being a dad. That one dad that I'd like to say something to you about today is our Heavenly Father. Now, this is a true story. This actually comes from Gordon Dalby. Some of you might know who Gordon is, but Gordon is a preacher and a public speaker, generally to men. And a Catholic priest told him the following. He tells about a nun who was working in the men's prison, and she one day said that a prisoner came to her and asked the nun to buy him a Mother's Day card so he could send his mother a Mother's Day card from prison. Well, news traveled fast throughout that particular prison block, and pretty soon this nun was deluged with requests to get a card for the men to send off to their mothers on Mother's Day, which she did. She got in contact with Hallmark cards and obviously had lots of cards for the men for Mother's Day. And then she began to think, well, probably they also want to send a card to Dad on Father's Day. She contacted Hallmark again. Hallmark supplied however many cards. As it turns out, not one single man wanted to send his dad a Father's Day card. Is there anybody here that can see a problem? that men in prison today don't want to connect with the father that they grew up with. So, of course, I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you the question today, what kind of father is God? That's where I would like to go today. I've titled the sermon for this morning, The Heart of a Father. Lord, we thank you again for your grace and that wonderful grace that it is, Lord. Thank you for your peace, Lord, a peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that's brand new every single morning, Lord. Thank you for your love shown to us by the work of Christ on the cross. And we thank you, Father, again, for each one of these dads. And we, Father, would pray down upon each one of them today a blessing upon their souls. We pray that, Father, that they would see of any of us, Lord, that we would see you as the example of the kind of father we need to be. So I pray that, dear Lord, this morning that whatever the trials, whatever the challenges are in homes this morning, Lord, even in this place, that, Father, hearts would turn to you. Again, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ. Direct our way this morning, Lord, as we look at your precious word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, for those of you who have had a good father, I would say to you this morning that you should be extremely grateful that you've had a good father. But for those of us who did not have a good father, we too are grateful. And the reason is, as every near perfect father would tell you, they aren't perfect. No fathers are perfect. The ones that you think maybe are the best would say that they are nowhere near what you think they are. So what's on my heart this morning is I want you to think with me about the person of God as a father. Now, you all know that the Bible teaches us that God is three persons. There is not a genius anywhere in the theological realm or anywhere that can tell you how it's possible that you can have three persons and one God. It's not even possible for us to figure it out. Yet, it is true. The Bible clearly teaches that we have a God who is three persons. I want to focus today with you for a few moments today on this matter of God being a father. Of the 258 times that the word father is found in the four gospel accounts, most of the time Jesus is talking about his father who is in heaven. I want you to think with me about the kind of father you think God is. Now, I would guess that probably if I went around the room today and I asked you to tell me what you think God is like as a father to you, you may struggle a little bit. So I want to share with you just a couple things this morning that's on my heart. First of all, I want you to think about a father as a person who is constantly giving. Here's what the Bible says. Please note with me in verse 20. You're right, John chapter 5. Look at verse 20 with me, please. Look what the Bible says here. The Father loves the Son, shows him all things that he does. He will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Notice what Jesus says. He said, the Father loves the Son. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me. If there's one thing that appears to be very evident in the heart and the mind of Jesus, he knew that his Father loved him. I think that probably of all the things that you have in experience in your life, to know your Father loves you might be among the greatest things. A father is someone who gives, according to Jesus here. Now, I can only imagine God way back in eternity. The Bible says God is love. So if we're looking way back in eternity, I want you to think with me for just a moment that God the Father always loved God the Son. Throughout eternity, The Father loved the Son, according to the words of Jesus Himself. I was speaking to a man this week on the topic of fathers. I think it was he that brought the subject up with me. He has still to this day a very difficult relationship with his father. The mother and father will not let him live at home anymore. I think he is about 24 years old. He told me that for a time he lived in a homeless shelter out in New London. And I was mentioning to him someone that he knows, who is my son Dan. And this is what this kid says to me. He says, "You know what, Mr. Peters?" He says, "Dan loves you." I don't think he had that much connection with Dan. But I thought, that was a remarkable thing for this young man to say. I want you to think about your father's love for you. I don't want you to think about how poorly your father loved you. I want you to think about your father's love for you. Your heavenly father loves you perfectly, purely, wonderfully. He absolutely, totally loves you just as you are. Whatever you're like, he loves you. I actually found a passage in the Bible that said that God delights in us. Can you imagine going through every day of your experience thinking that God delights in me? Father's love. Think about a father loving. Think about that love being reciprocated, of course, from the child back to the father. Look with me back in Matthew chapter 6. I want to share this with you from Matthew 6:26. So if you'll turn back with me to the 26th verse of Matthew chapter 6 and listen to what Jesus says, please, with me about the Father. Look at this. Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they?" And then go on a little further in the same passage where Jesus said this, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." Now, you might not be able to do this. I cannot do this. I cannot conceive of God as someone other than a father. I only see him as he is. Now, yes, he is a judge. There are other aspects of the person of God that I absolutely believe in, but I see God as my heavenly Father, the one who knows me inside and out. The one who loves me with an absolute perfect love. He delights in me. He loves to hear me. He observes my life. He knows what's going on in every single circumstance that I face in my life. Now listen, folks, if Jesus said that your heavenly Father feeds you and clothes you and supplies all your needs, I want you to think about your Father. I want you to think about what kind of father he has been to you, the giving father that he is. Listen, folks, every child needs the nurture of his father, something I did not grow up with. Somebody has wisely written, when dads don't embrace, encourage, guide, and protect him, a boy grows up thinking, "Dad doesn't value me, I must not be worth very much." Well, one of the gifts that a father can give to his child is to love them. You've probably noticed people in your life, fathers in particular, that have a connection with their children. It's something that is remarkable in and of itself. I've watched it over the years because I didn't have it. I've watched it over the years because I wanted it. I've watched it over the years because I needed it. I have a couple nice kids, and I mean that with all my heart. And I just totally love them. I just totally love them. I don't have any doubt in my mind that I have a deep love for my children. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a father's love. Something I did not grow up with, but somehow my father has enabled me to love those kids. By the way, there are some who are growing up in an adoptive home. And some people think that an adoptive child cannot feel father's love. I would like to just change that for you this morning as follows. Peter, could you help us there? First, I want to say to you that he's a father who gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. The second thing I want to say to you about our Father in heaven is that he's closer to you than anyone here on this earth. Here's what Scripture says in Mark chapter 14. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto me, unto thee. Take away this cup from me, Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now, I want you to notice something with me in this passage that some of you are very familiar with. Jesus in the garden on the night before he was betrayed and then ultimately crucified. And that is this line here where Jesus says, Abba, Father. According to Bible scholars, no one yet has been able to come up with any other translation than dad or daddy in any language. You probably don't think enough about Jesus saying to his father, dad, daddy, or papa. You probably don't even think of God being a daddy. But if this is the word of Jesus, it is absolutely true. By the way, for those of you who are dads, you all know I'm 65 years old and I still love to hear the kids say dad or daddy. I love to hear Janet in conversation with the kids and they refer to dad or daddy. And I'm 65. So man, your lesson from Jesus on your calling your father dad will transform the way you look at God. Scripture says a couple things. One, he's able to do the impossible. Abba, Father. He's able to do the impossible. Jesus said, all things are possible with you. Now, every one of us has things that we find that are impossible in our lives. You live with impossibilities every day, but dads especially, listen closely. You need to see your father as the dad that he is, who is able to do even the impossible things. That's the kind of dad you have. You have an impossible situation right now in your life. Who are you going to deal with that circumstance or person about? Now listen, folks, we all suffer. In the story that we have in hand right here in the passage, you know that Jesus was praying regarding the suffering he was about to experience. So listen, I believe that likely the most difficult suffering is the suffering that people go through when they have to suffer alone. You may know some people that are like this. They have to suffer some very, very difficult things. I want you to know that whatever the difficulty is, no matter how it is, whether it is even impossible, the Bible teaches that all of that you experience in your life can be taken to someone who understands it and can take care of it because he is the one who can handle the impossible. I have heard people say, maybe you've heard it too, you've heard people say, I can't take it anymore. Well, the reason people can't take it anymore is because they're suffering by themselves. They don't know that they have a Heavenly Father who not only cares for them, but can take complete care of impossible things in their lives. So you're not on your own. And I believe those who suffer alone likely suffer the most. For all the hills I've had to climb, for all the stones that hurt my feet, for all the blood and dirt and grime, for the blinding storms and burning heat. My heart still sings a grateful song. They were the things that made me strong. For all the heartache and the tears, for all the anguish and the pain, for gloomy days and fruitless years, for all the hopes that lived in vain, I do give thanks, for now I know these are the things that made me grow. Abba, Papa, Dad, daddy implies a very, very close relationship with a father, between a father and his child. A dad is a companion, he's a protector, he certainly is a provider, but listen, he is worthy of your calling him Abba. I dare say that some of you have never called your father dad. Well, from this day forth, you can call your Heavenly Father by his right name, and that is Abba. So I say to you that he's a father who gives. He's closer to you than anyone on this earth. And may I say to you that more than anything else, the key ingredient to living a life with a proper relationship with your father is to fully surrender. Listen again to Luke 23. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I want you to think about the relationship that Jesus had with his father, even though he had to suffer, even though he had to go to the cross. So listen, we all suffer. But please remember, the greatest thing that you can do when you suffer is to surrender yourself completely to your Father. Some of you are probably going through bigger trials than the person that's sitting next to you in the pew today. But I will say to you with all my heart that the one thing that makes all the difference in the world is whether or not you raise the flag of surrender and say, Lord, you're in charge, not my will, but thine be done. One great preacher said it this way in that day, when I surrendered myself to my Savior, I gave him my body, my soul, my spirit. I gave him all I had, and I shall have for time and eternity. I gave him all my talents, my power, my faculties, my eyes, my ears, my conscience, my limbs, my emotions, my judgments, my whole manhood, and all that would come from it, whatever fresh capacity or new capability I might be endowed with, said a preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. One of the great writers that I've enjoyed over the years and read every single day of my life is Oswald Chambers. And he said, one of the dangers of modern evangelism is that it lays too much emphasis upon a decision for Christ rather than a surrender to Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at today with respect to fathers. I don't know where you're at with respect to suffering. I don't know where you're at with respect to surrender. But I would say to you today that more than anything else, the key ingredient in your life is your Heavenly Father. The key person in your life is your Heavenly Father. And you can call him Dad. And you can see him as the God of the impossible. And you can learn to trust that even when things aren't the way you think they can be, in a full surrender, you can say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. One of the definitions of surrender is found in 1 Kings chapter 20. One king surrendered to another king. And the Bible says these words here. The Bible says, the king of Israel answered and said, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all I have. And I wonder if today you have ever said to God, all I am and all I have belongs to you. So today is Father's Day in our United States. So who here is going to take themselves to the heart of the Father more than anything in the world? I'm telling you from experience that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you, that cares for you beyond any earthly father. He's closer than anyone ever. But also, he's looking to you to surrender yourself completely to his will. It's a beautiful song that goes like this. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at thy feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Father, I thank you again this morning that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that knows us inside and out, and that yet at the same time, Father, you have loved us with an absolute, everlasting, golden, glorious, wonderful love. There is one person here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know that love. I pray that you will bring that to their hearts, that they would know what your heart is like, Lord, and they would see you for who you really are and respond to that wonderful love. Again, I thank you for the cross. Thank you for sending Christ to die for our sins. And for that one that's here today, dear Lord, that needs you more than anything else, I pray that you will bring them, Father, the simple light of the gospel, and that they too can walk in true fellowship with you as their Father. We praise you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.